You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And another pleasant, good Saturday morning to you, and welcome into the last football edition of the Coach's Corner for this fall. Daniel Versteg with you, so happy to be bringing you this edition of the Coach's Corner. And not very happy that it is the last edition of the Coach's Corner, but that's the way it goes. Both Galen Catholic and Lamar seeing their season come to an end last night in the round of 16. But again, it was the first time both of them have made it this far in the playoffs together since 2005. So what a historic year for both sides as they both end up falling to some very good football teams. This edition of the Coach's Corner is brought to you by Ameriprise Financial, Sitzman Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Nohava Construction, Get Branded 360, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, True Health Chiropractic, and Chapman Overhead Doors. We'll have Ken Vigdahl on first. He's the head football coach of Lamar's Community Football. The Bulldogs lost to the defending state champion and top-ranked team in Class 4A, the unbeaten Titans of Lewis Central, who flexed their muscles big time with a 57-7 victory over your Bulldogs. But Lamar's kept it close to the first quarter and a half or so. The Titans got the first two touchdowns in the first 6 minutes, made it 13-0, and that's kind of when it looked like, all right, yep, it's been a great season. But the Bulldogs didn't go away that easily. They kept them out of the end zone the next couple of drives to finish the first quarter, and then the Bulldogs got the ball back, and Teagan just dropped a dime to Sione Fifita, who made a great move on the first guy. They had no safety help, and he was into the end zone, made it a one-score game. Things were looking good, and well, that's when the Titans started to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, I guess, and they really rolled the rest of the way, scoring 44 unanswered points. So a tough loss for the Bulldogs, but again, we'll have a lot to talk about with Coach Ken Vigdahl, just about where this program has come under just 2 years with him as the head coach. And again, like Gabe Davis was talking about during our broadcast last night, just the amount of pride that the seniors can have. It's the first time in nearly a decade the Bulldogs made the playoffs. There's nothing to be sad about with how this season's gone. So we'll chat with Coach Vigdahl all about that. And then Galen Catholic saw their season come to an end at the hands of another unbeaten team, Woodbury Central, who beat the Jays 48-7 last night. Woodbury Central wasted no time getting out in front. They scored a touchdown in the first minute and a half and got two more in the final 4 minutes of the first quarter. They led 35-0 before things kind of started getting out of control. Jays would get one more touchdown before the half, but then Woodbury Central put up 13 in the second half. So a 48-7 victory for Woodbury Central, moving on to the quarterfinal round. We'll talk with Jeremy Schindler about the contest. And this senior group, man, that's going to be a tough senior class to lose for the Jays. But the nice thing is we've seen some sophomores and juniors be able to provide that ability that the Jays need out on the football field. So we've got a lot to talk about with both of them. As far as other Plymouth County schools are concerned, the Hinton Blackhawks had their season come to an end at the top team out of their district in Hartley Melvin Sanborn, 46-27. Hinton was actually leading for the good chunk of the first half. They were up 13-8. HMS got one more score before half, made it 14-13. And then HMS came out in the third quarter with two quick touchdowns, made it 30-13. And by that point, they would trade scores back and forth, but by then it was too late. HMS was already up by a couple of possessions, and Hinton just couldn't come back. So the Blackhawks season comes to an end at 6-4. Great job for Coach Harderson. This Hinton program won just two games combined in 2020 and 2021, made the playoffs for the first time since 2018, and got a playoff win for the first time since 2016. So shout-outs to Coach Harderson and the crew and all the players out at Hinton for getting them back to the level we know Hinton football to be over the last few years. And like clockwork, the number one team in Class 8 player football resides right here in Plymouth County. That's Remsen St. Mary's. They went up big on West Bend Mallard, never looked back. 42-16, the final score. The Hawks were up 42-0, and then West Bend Mallard got a couple of scores late. But the Hawks are moving on to the quarterfinal round. They'll play Grettinger Terrell Ruthven Ayrshire coming up in the quarterfinal round Thursday night at 7 o'clock in Remsen, and we'll have the coverage of that right here on KLEM. So our football coverage is not done yet. Our 11-man football coverage is, but our 8-player coverage is just getting underway with the Hawks taking on the Titans of GTRA. Let's get a break in. We'll come back and we'll get Coach Vic Dahl on the line and talk to him about a great year of Bulldog football. That's coming up next on the KLAM Coach's Corner right here on KLAM Radio.
Ask Ameriprise financial advisor Michael K. Rulin about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. It's a personalized, flexible, step-by-step approach toward financial balance. Call Michael K. Rulin, financial advisor, certified financial planner practitioner, Ross Rulin, associate financial advisor, or Sam Van Wettering, associate financial advisor at 546-9525. Office is located at 129 Central Avenue, Southwest, Lamars, Iowa. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Specializing in EPS buildings and homes, new construction and remodeling, Sitzman Construction has been doing business in the Lamars area for 15 years. They're your area expert in EPS solid core shops and homes. Jeremy and his crew would love to come out and give you a quote on your post-frame agricultural building, new home construction, or even your home remodeling project. At Sitzman Construction, quality and customer satisfaction are the focus on the job. Call Jeremy today at 546-4263 and start building with the best, because at Sitzman Construction, they satisfy your construction needs.
A complex system of bones, joints, ligaments, and tendons choreographs every movement throughout your day. Where you get care for your body matters. Turn to the experienced team at Floyd Valley Healthcare, where technology, orthopedic care, and therapies meet to support your every move. From sports medicine to scopes and carpal tunnel surgery to complete knee, hip, or shoulder replacements, the orthopedic services at Floyd Valley can help keep your complex system working for you. Floyd Valley Healthcare, your community, your health, your life.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We're back on the Coach's Corner. It's brought to you every Saturday by Ameriprise Financial, Sitzman Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Nohava Construction, Get Branded 360, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, True Health Chiropractic, and Chapman Overhead Doors. As we wrap up the fall edition of the Coach's Corner, Daniel Versteg with you. We're now joined by the head coach of the Lamars Community Bulldogs. That's Coach Ken Big Dahl. His team suffering a loss of the number one team in the state, the defending state champion Titans of Lewis Central. We could talk a lot about the game, and we'll dive into some of that, of course, Coach. But man, when all's said and done, how proud are you of your kids for getting to the playoffs, having a winning record, and you know, getting the Bulldogs quickly to a point like this in just two seasons?
Yeah, words can't even say how proud I am of our coaching staff and our kids and our. And just everything that we've been able to do over the last couple of years. That, you know, like last night on the bus when they were getting off, and I talked about how, you know, we can't let this game define our season, because let's pick a different game to define our season. You know, the Spencer game, the SBL game, many more. So, you know, we had a really great season, and I'm just happy for our kids that, you know, they were able to get in the playoffs. And, you know, last night was another step of learning. You know, we talked earlier in the year about how we have to have a signature win, and we went out and did that. Maybe we had a couple of them this year. And so now we went down and you played the number one team in the state, a returning state champion, and you're in the playoffs. You know, what are the lessons that we had to learn last night? What are the lessons of, okay, this is how fast we have to be. This is how strong we have to be. You know what I mean? So even though it's always, playoffs are always hard for me, because you're excited and you love it and you're going through it, and then at 10 o'clock on a Friday night, you're just done. And, you know, your seniors are leaving. That's emotional. The year is over. That's emotional and stuff. And you kind of wake up on tomorrow morning or Monday morning and you're going to go, we don't have practice. Mm. And now what am I going to do? And, you know, the kids were like, can we watch film? Of course we can watch film. You know, they still want to be together as a group. And that's just a great sign of how they, the kids, have bought in and want to be great teammates.
Wow. I mean, if I was, you know, a football player, I probably, if my season came to an end, I probably wouldn't want to watch film, you know, on the next week. I mean, that's very, you know, impressive to say, hey, they still want to learn, even though, yeah, they've got nothing to play for next week. They still want to learn, get better, because as we're going to probably talk about throughout the program, it's the foundation that you guys have set that they want to already start preparing for next August, it seems.
Well, and I don't know if they want to prepare for August, but I don't think they want it to end. And I don't think, you know, it's a habit. You know what I mean? You get into habits and it's like they wake up on Monday and go, we don't have practice either. And they wake up on Sunday and go, are we going over to coach's house for supper that night? And it's like, you know, nope, it's done and it's over. But, you know, it's great to see that they still want to, even though it's a lot of X's and O's and wins and losses, it's still about creating teams and team atmosphere and, you know, the bond that the kids have between each other and stuff and the bond that the coaches have with the kids. And, you know, that's, you know, we can talk about X's and O's all you want about last night, but it's still when the game is over and you hug that senior, you know, probably not for the last time, but last time on the football field, it is kind of emotional for everybody.
You know, what was the what's kind of the message in a scenario like that? When you get handed the trophy, when you're in that huddle on the field, when you're on the bus, what's kind of that message you give them to you know, try and let them know it's going to be all right, but obviously, you know, it's really tough to give them a heartwarming message in a scenario like that.
Well, I just think, you know, I don't know if there's anything you can really say last night that's profound and, you know, life-changing, but it's just really all the little things that we've said throughout the year, we've been throughout the year, and I think they know and we know, and it's one of those things that, you know, it's just, yeah, it's they just know how much we care about them, I hope, and you know, they can come for us for anything they need, not just because it's football season's over. It's, you know, I enjoy getting save the dates when they go to get married and when they text me and say, hey, coach, I'm going to have a baby and all those things, you know, all parts of their lives long after they, you know, are out of, you know, Lamar's football. And it's one of those things that I'm old enough that I'm starting to get those where, you know, some of our younger coaches, you know, they haven't quite coached as long as me. And so, you know, I want to help them realize that, you know what, when they get a little bit older, those are important things.
Absolutely. We're chatting with Ken Vigdahl. He's the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. Let's talk a little bit about the first half at least of the game, coach, and the energy and atmosphere was something you mentioned in our pregame show last night about just, you know, you got to do that. If you can't do anything else, you got to come out with energy and atmosphere, and it may not reflect it maybe on the scoreboard, but I thought you guys did come out with some energy and atmosphere. You were moving the football. You're playing some solid defense, except for just those couple of touchdown plays. What did you see out of your guys in the first, say, quarter and a half or so, as far as their energy, their effort, and their will to be there?
You know, and I think, you know, we talked a few minutes ago about what did we learn, and I think we did play with effort and energy. And, you know, I think the atmosphere of, okay, you know, how Lewis Central, you know, they're playing music and it's loud and it's, you know, something that we haven't really encountered because they don't really do that in our district, which is fine. But it's like, okay, we're in a different environment than we're used to. And I thought we came out, and even though they had a couple big plays early on, you know, it ended up being 13-7 at one point in time, you know, into that first quarter or whatever. And so, you know, I think we kind of matched that, and then we gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown. And, you know, then you could just kind of see it like, okay, now we got to build back again and stuff. And, you know, it just kind of, you know, went south from there. But, you know, I think for a long time we matched them in that first half. But, you know, it's no doubt they're the number one team in our class. And, you know, if they don't win the state championship, I would be surprised. And, you know, it's one of those things you can say this and that and everything, but at the end, when you're down to the last 16 teams and you're playing the number one team in the state, you know, they're no doubt they're pretty good.
100%, yeah, and they proved that last night. And like we said something about you guys being overmatched. I still want to see who overmatches Lewis Central, because I don't think there's many teams that do that. You know, this kind of stretch you talked about with the touchdown and the kick return, I could kind of sense there was maybe a shift. There was a shift from, okay, we're in the game, to, oh, we did all that work to get a touchdown, and now we're back down by two scores. Did it kind of feel like a little bit of a, you know, deflating kind of moment there on the bench for you guys? Or was it still, you know, kind of, hey, we're still in the playoffs. We're still within two scores. We just got to go back out there and do what we did on the last drive?
Yep, and, you know, we kind of said, okay, and when things like that happen, we go, okay, offense, here we go. We got to you know, we got to move the ball. We got to keep the ball in our hands and keep, you know, our defense off the field because their offense is so explosive. And, you know, that was our goal. And you know, we did some things early on that, you know, we ran a few more screens out of different formations that they hadn't seen. And we were able to get some movement and stuff. We would get down there and, you know, we'd get down to the 40 or 30 and maybe have a penalty or, you know, and push us back to, you know, third and long or whatever. But, you know, I'll give our kids credit. We fought all the way through the game and, you know, it was a big physical game. I mean, you know, they had a guy 6'8" or 6'7" and 260 pounds on the edge. And it's like, you don't see those kids very often. So, around our area, but you know what? Our kids fought, we battled and, you know, like we've said a million times already, you know, who is going to match up well with them?
Hey, yeah, there's not many. I think they'll probably get their best matchup the last game of the year in the Dome. I see this so many times when it comes to doing Morningside football games in Sioux City. The field position battle becomes, I think, probably the more insurmountable task for a lot of these teams that get, you know, overmatched in a game. It felt like you guys just couldn't get past the 20-yard line for your field position, and then they started in your half a couple of times, and they were starting, you know, at the 30, 40-yard line, things like that. How tough is it to come back in a game or to be able to come back in such a way that you can flip the field position battle? Because it just never really happened for you guys last night.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things, and you know, the football field's divided, obviously, into different segments, but, you know, when they start from the 50 on in, the chances of you scoring is fairly great, you know what I mean? And so, you know, when they start on your half of the football field, chances of them scoring, and it doesn't matter if it's us or whoever it is, you know what I mean? The chances, the percentages is way high. If they have to go 80, 90 yards for a touchdown, you know, obviously it drops, but, you know, we needed to be able to, you know, punt the ball to where the guy couldn't catch it to, you know, because both their returners on punt return and kickoff return, you know, they were extremely fast. And when they got headed north and south, they were able to, you know, run through our blocks or run through our tackles and really get big chunk yardages.
Ken Vigdahl, he's the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. We're talking a little bit about the contest. You know, this Titan team, obviously explosive offense, all those kind of things that we've touched on a little bit throughout the interview here, and we did yesterday as well. They threw the ball so well against you guys. What was kind of the thing they were doing that was maybe a wrinkle to you guys that just kind of allowed them to be able to throw for about 300 yards last night?
Well, I think one of them was the guy that was 6'7" running down the field. I mean, right. You just don't see that either, you know what I mean? But, you know, they were able to – their offensive line was really, really well, really skilled, you know, in pass blocking. You know, we had a tough time coming off the edge, and they would get their hands on us, and you know, we couldn't get them off. And so the quarterback was able to stay on his mark like we talked about earlier. And so, you know, we didn't get him off his mark a whole lot. And then, you know, they would run some switches, which we call somebody's going to run to the middle of the field, somebody's going to run up the sideline. And they were able to do that a couple of times. When he got off his mark, he was able to find some open receivers. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we forced him to, you know, off his mark a few times. But, you know, the kid has 154, you know, pass rating. So, you know, we're going against one of the better quarterbacks we've seen all year.
And yeah, they had a really good offensive line, but man, if there's one group on the field for you guys that you couldn't question the energy and effort on last night, it was your defensive line. I mean, Alex was getting around the edge, and Mark Moten was fighting his darndest with those guards in the center. I mean, your defensive line really showed some energy and effort, and they were able to get rewarded. At least Alex got a sack, and Mark got into there in the backfield a couple of times. They were able to at least get rewarded with a couple of big plays.
Yeah, and then Mark even had an interception there.
That's right, yeah.
So that's even awesome. You don't see that very often, and so we're happy for Mark. And you know, they definitely concentrated, and, you know, that their offensive right tackle, you know, he knew that Carson was coming off the edge too, and obviously he was a skilled player and you know, held Carson down a little bit, but you know, they both forced their quarterback, like I said, off their mark sometimes. But yeah, there's no doubt those guys play hard. And then of course, you know, when you get in that mode of a pass rusher, and then they hand the ball off, you still have to be able to, you know what I mean, take care of the run too. So, you know, I don't fault any of the effort of any of our kids last night,
no.
Offensively or defensively, because even offensively, this is a kind of a unique statistic. We ran 10 more plays than they did, you know what I mean, offensively. But, you know, our kids, I thought, you know, all along, you know, we kept coming at them defensively and offensively. We kept trying to get first downs and keep the clock going. And you know, we've talked about it a million times already, Daniel, that, you know, they're a great football team.
Yep. And that's pretty much what it boils down to. Yeah, this Titan team, very solid, 57-7 victors over your Bulldogs here last night. And as we're chatting with the head coach of the Bulldogs, Coach Ken Vigdahl, here on the KLAM Coach's Corner. Yeah, that's kind of the game. Again, there's not really a whole lot to rehash. Just to, you know, talk about this senior group, and you've now been able to coach this senior group for two full seasons, two full preseasons, things like that. What do you hope, at least in the coming years, that their legacy, their impression on the program, what do you hope they will leave for a mark on your football program?
Well, I told the younger kids, the juniors that were on the bus, I said, you know, it's one of those things, you know, we made the playoffs, these seniors made the playoffs, and now that's the standard. That's the standard of play. That's the standard of what we do. And you know, you go back a year ago to those seniors a year ago, and it was like, here's the guy that comes in. Nobody knows him. He sets the process in, and they bought into it, and these seniors bought into it, you know, and that helped last year build a foundation. And then they took it another step further this year. So they have to be, you know, rewarded for that. And we made the playoffs, and, you know, and the thing we're talking about is football, but it's once again, it's, we use football as a vehicle to, you know, help young men become better young men. You know, we go to the elementaries, we read to sixth graders, you know, we go to youth football, we go to flag football, we hang Christmas tree lights, we do all kinds of things. And that's just, you know, what we want when they leave is to just be great young men. And, you know, here's another case of these guys are leaving, and it's sad. And but that's the way high school football is. You'd love to keep them forever, but you just can't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And life moves on. But it's like all those things that we do and stuff. And so they took it to another level. So, you know, that puts pressure on the next group. Hey, you know, this is the standard of play. This is what we expect. And, you know, sorry, juniors, that's what you have to do now.
Right. Well, and you know, the nice thing is you do have a great junior class that's coming up. I mean, we could talk about a bunch of them, but they were able to show some flashes of greatness last night, even in the playoffs. From a football perspective, obviously it is the vehicle, like you talk about, that just kind of drives all the other stuff off the field that you impress on your players. But from a football perspective, how valuable were the plays that they got last night and the reps they got and being able to use that for further experience come the offseason and next year?
Yeah, you know, we had quite a few juniors that got to play. You know, Tegan, you know, he's going to come back for another year. Bo's going to come back for another year. Evan Jalis is coming back for another year. Drew Gallis is coming back for another year. So we have all these kids coming back for another year to be seniors. And, you know, obviously all the things that we talk about football-wise and weightlifting-wise, but leadership-wise, that, you know, they have to take another step up and say, okay, now we're the leaders. And, you know, I even said last night to one of them, I mean, you're a senior now. I mean, you know, this year's football, sad as it is to be over, you're a senior now, and you need to start leading right away. And so, you know, we hope even those juniors take this on to their winter sports and learn how to lead and continue to lead, you know, the teams that they're in the winter.
And that's the best part, too, is Lamar's doesn't just have football players or basketball players or what have you. They have athletes, and the fact that you can watch them on the hardwood, you can watch them on the mat, and you can watch them on the diamond – That's a really cool opportunity, and I know I see you at a lot of those games. How much do you enjoy, after the football season's over, being able to still watch them be competitive and represent Lamar's in a great way through athletics?
Well, I just think if you're only a football player and you play 9 times or 10 times like we did this year, you know, your competition over the course of your year, 10 times is not very much. And so we love to watch our kids on the basketball court, on the wrestling mat, on the track, on the diamond, wherever they're doing something, we like to go because, you know what, it talks about who can handle pressure, who can make a big play and everything else. And so, you know, when we go to those games, we want to support them, obviously. But, you know, we're also there to say, hey, look at what they're doing and how hard are they competing in anything. You know, I score a lot of wrestling meets at home and I go watch the basketball games and stuff. Just, you know, I enjoy watching our kids play other sports and I work the track meets. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a little bit about how hard are they competing all year round.
Well, and they competed this year. That's, again, like you said, this game will definitely not define their season. There's plenty of other games that highlight the Bulldog program this year. It was a great year. It was a historic year. It was fun to follow along, Coach, and I've enjoyed getting to talk with you for another year. We always appreciate your time here on the Coach's Corner. And, hey, we'll look forward to next fall when we get to do this again.
Hey, thanks, Daniel, and thanks for all the time and effort you put into our program.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Ken. That's Ken Vigdahl. He's the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. We'll take a break when we come back. Galen Catholic coach Jeremy Schindler will join us to wrap up the J season. That's coming up after this here on KLEM.
At Nohava Construction, we build the world's best roofs, and we stand behind them. We've been recognized as an elite roofing specialist year after year. At Nohava Construction, we have a high accuracy rating. We use the world's finest roofing technology for our commercial projects. Whether it's new construction or roof replacement, we work hard for our customers. You're the reason we installed the best commercial roofs around. Nohava Construction, your elite roofing specialist.
Nohava Construction Lamar's has roofing covered and then some.
Do you need shirts for an event? Get Branded 360 offers competitive pricing and awesome customer service. Get Branded's graphic artist can take your ideas and create a design for you. Get Branded 360 carries a variety of blank clothing. Get a tank top for the hot weather, a sweatshirt for cool nights, and t-shirt for any time at Get Branded 360.
When you want to show appreciation for someone's generosity, kindness, or achievement, Dryco Products Incorporated can assist you with a wide selection of high-quality recognition products. Go to www.drycoproducts.com to see examples of the complete line of displays, building directories, employee tenure, wall of fame, memorials, sales performance, education, medical, faith, military, and much more. Dryco Products is your source for personalized gifts, such as Bible covers, wine glasses, picture frames. Almost anything is possible to personalize. Contact Dryco Products for more ideas. Dryco Products online, www.drycoproducts.com.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the Coach's Corner. It's brought to you every Saturday by Ameriprise Financial, Sitzman Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Nohava Construction, Get Branded 360, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, True Health Chiropractic, and Chapman Overhead Doors. Daniel Versteg with you. Joining us now is the head football coach, Galen Catholic. That is Coach Ken, it's Jeremy Schindler, I beg your pardon. The Jays finishing off the year 8-2 with a 48-7 loss at the hands of Woodbury Central. And Coach, it's kind of like we talked with Ken. I mean, this ball game is going to end your season, but you hope it doesn't define it. When you kind of look back at this year, before we talk about the game anyway, what do you hope does define the 2022 Galen Catholic football program?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with our seniors and the work and the effort that they put in for, you know, for most of them 4 years. Obviously, we had a couple guys, join this year, and we're very grateful for that. But this is a group, they were very fun to coach. I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is the togetherness that they played with. And you know, going to practice every day was not work. It was fun. These guys, they put everything they had into practice. And, you know, they you know, obviously had a lot of success on the field. You know, one of our best offensive seasons, and I thought defensively, you know, we improved tremendously throughout the season. Obviously, it didn't show last night, but you know, just these guys played with a togetherness. They really care about each other as individuals and players, and that's probably what stands out most to me.
And that's kind of the fun part, too, about, you know, a tight-knit group of guys like that. You only have 30-some-odd guys on your roster, and they can really become tight, and you see that on the football field, whether it's, you know, their connection or they kind of know what the other's going to do. It feels like there's a really special bond when it comes to Galen Catholic football. How has that been, you know, evident as we've talked about now? How has that been evident on the football field for you this whole season?
Well, I just think, you know, football is a funny sport. It's a complicated sport. Even when you have a team outmatched, or even when you're outmatched by a team, you know, things don't always go your way. The ball is not round. It bounces funny, and that's kind of how the game goes. And so there was times this year where we faced a lot of adversity in a game. And, you know, it was great to see a team stay together, you know, not turn on each other. I've been on teams where the guys have turned against each other. I've coached against teams where guys turn against each other. And you're always very grateful when your team is the team that sticks together. We talked about that all year long. And that's, you know, it just starts from them just caring about each other as people and as individuals. And that was evident, you know, last night, obviously, not the way we wanted it to go. But, you know, afterwards, you get to talk to all the seniors, and they're just appreciative of all the hard work that you've done, and you're appreciative of all the hard work that they've done. And all the underclassmen are very appreciative of the leadership that these guys have showed all year.
Yeah, and I know that was evident after last year's loss, and like you said, evident after this one. Let's talk about the game here a little bit, Coach. I mean, the thing that jumps out right away to me is just the tough time it seemed for you guys to be able to move the football. I mean, it's very rare when you guys get held to less than 100, let alone less than 50 yards on the ground, and only about 150 yards of offense. What was Woodbury Central doing that was able to stifle you guys moving the football?
Well, the big thing was is they played a light box on us, and they were able to stop our running game with a light box, and that allowed them to put extra guys in coverage, and we could not handle that. You know, when we got in the eye a couple times, there was only a 7-man box and we couldn't run the ball. When we got in the spread, there was only a 5-man box, and you know, their safeties and their outside linebackers who are walked out to our slot do such a great job of getting a run pass read off of the end man on the line of scrimmage that they were either flying downhill or you know, sinking into their coverage. So we just had when we can't run the ball, that really hurts us. And you know, Connor was able to run the ball a little bit. Some of that was just on drop back passing, where you know, the play broke down and he was able to make something happen. But we really couldn't get Kale going, and that really hurts us offensively. So you know, they give their front five, front seven, their defensive line, they fight. They you know, they're tough. They're wrestler kids. They're two middle linebackers. I know one of them's a wrestler. I'm sure the other one has probably at least wrestled or wrestles still. You know, they made so many open field tackles. I think there's one play they missed four tackles, and then I don't think they missed another tackle the entire game. So, you know, they were able to control the line of scrimmage with fewer guys than we had, and you know, tackle extremely well in open space.
Jeremy Schindler's with us. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic football. I mean, just from the sounds of that, Coach, it felt like, or it sounds like anyway, that it probably had to feel like they were just kind of looking over your shoulder while you were calling plays. How tough is that from a play-calling perspective and then a play-execution standpoint when it feels like they're just kind of breathing down your neck as you're talking to your quarterback?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. Looking over my shoulder, I think sometime in the third quarter, Coach Ellenzone said to me, well, it's like they heard our game plan.
Yeah.
And they did our game plan against us. And they, you know, we wanted to get pressure on their quarterback and make him feel uncomfortable. They got a ton of pressure on Connor all night and made him feel uncomfortable. And, you know, their coverage, they played a softer coverage on the, but with their corners and their safeties, but their linebackers were able to still cover the flats. So we couldn't take advantage of that, and they just didn't miss any tackles. So that was, yeah, it was really frustrating. The plays that were open were the plays that take, that are long developing routes, like a dig route over the middle. And we hit it a couple times when we got good protection, but we just didn't quite get enough time. It was just that half second that Connor needed an extra half second here or a half second there for the receiver to clear the linebacker, and then we would have had a kid running wide open, and we just didn't make enough of those plays.
But yeah, it sounds like when you did, I mean, I'm just looking at the numbers. You had 17 completions, and you're able to tally over 100 yards through that. But to consistently get it, like you said, how tough is that when that pressure's coming and they're breathing down your neck and you have to let it develop? How tough is it to try and get that to go on a consistent, you know, back-to-back play kind of view?
Oh, absolutely. It's very tough. You know, we're asking our offensive linemen to hold up in protection for 4, sometimes even 5 seconds, and especially with those dig routes that go over the middle, and, you know, some of our other route combinations that might take a little longer. That, you know, it's tough for those guys, especially when they're facing, you know, this is the playoffs. You're not facing scrubs anymore.
Right.
You know, that team over there is a, you know, I'm going to be real honest. They're a dome team.
Mm-hmm.
They play Hartley next week, and I think they're going to wipe the floor with Hartley.
Right.
They're a really good football team, and we just, you know, we just couldn't hold up in pass protection, and you know, then our receivers were not quite getting open, you know, quick enough. So it was just a very frustrating night all over offensively.
And defensively, too, I have to assume, because I can just look at the stats and say, well, yeah, Woodbury leads the state in passing. They're just going to, you know, try and throw all over you. But, man, then they got Max McGill going on the ground. He had half their scores for them last night against you guys. I mean, that's got to be really tough when you plan for one thing that Woodbury does so well. They lead the state in. And then they just hit you with something with you know, their ground attack. That's got to be really tough to face as a defense.
Yeah, I mean, it starts up front. We knew the McGill kid was really good. You know, their offensive line, again, did a great job of covering up our defensive linemen and reaching the second level and getting a piece of our linebackers and really frustrating them. You know, we tried some different things, different fronts to try and see, and we tried a little bit of an under front and an over front, and those started to work for us. At least it helped slow down the running game. But, you know, our linebackers had to be so aggressive in the run game to stop them, and their RPO game was so good. And I tell you what, that quarterback put the ball on the money in the first quarter. I don't think he missed a pass. I mean, that ball was hitting his guys right in the chest. They had no choice but to catch the football. And the speed with which they played on offense really kind of had our guys flustered. And it was just, we were shell-shocked, you know, and you know, you go down 21-0 after the first quarter, and you're kind of sitting there like, well, we have never been in this position before. You know, they just didn't let up.
You know, and you guys were able to at least briefly respond there. You guys kind of slowed them down to an extent in the second quarter a little bit. You got a score there before halftime. You haven't been in a scenario like this, but when you did get in the scenario, you guys were still able to fight. You guys were still able to play out to the end. Just tell me about you know, how good that was to see out of your guys, that they didn't, you know, they didn't give up and lie down to finish the game.
Well, you know, we did. We get a touchdown, you know, we get it to 35-7, and then we actually intercept them on that next series. Uh-huh. And so we get an interception with under a minute left, and we're on their side of the field. Keaton makes a great play. Keaton Bonnerson makes a great play on the ball, picks it off, takes it back 27 yards, gets us into their territory. We got the ball on the 27, 30, somewhere around their 30-yard line, something like that. And we really needed to punch that one in. And you know, they made an adjustment in their coverage, and they were able to drop a safety right to where we were trying to throw the ball. And, you know, we just couldn't make the play. He intercepted it in the end zone. Had we made that play, you know, had we been able to punch that in, you know, that would have been a momentum shifter for sure, because then we get the ball coming out in the second half. And, you know, if we score there, then it's only a 14-point game. And you never know what happens after
right.
that. But, you know, you can talk about that all you want. But, you know, our guys did fight. We really, you know, it goes back to just the character of the young men that we coach, especially those seniors, and even our underclassmen do a good job with it. But, you know, those seniors did a good job of leading, and, you know, they just continued to play for, you know, for each other. And that was nice to see.
We're chatting with Jeremy Schindler. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic football, talking about the game a little bit and then talking about the season as you talk about the camaraderie and the group of guys you had. And you know, from a scoreboard perspective, yeah, maybe they didn't face a whole lot of adversity throughout the year, but they did face some adversity as far as, you know, there was an injury. There were a couple of big injuries for you guys, and they had to have other guys step up on the field to be leaders. I mean, just talk about that aspect and having to, you know, have everybody, not, it can't just be a Keaton Bonderson or a Connor Kraft leading the way. It had to be like a Ryan Augustine was stepping up, and even Keaton Logan after not playing football for so many years. How all those guys were able to contribute in a leadership role.
Yeah, you know, we don't, out of those guys, there's not one that's the big vocal leader. I would say Aiden Spangler. Mm-hmm. He kind of brought the juice to us, provided that just emotional energy, and that was his role. And you know, obviously, it's very unfortunate he didn't get to, you know, finish out his senior season. You feel terrible for a kid like that. He's worked so hard, and it just wasn't in the cards for him. He's, you know, just been snake bitten his whole career with injuries. But, you know, one thing he never stopped doing is he never stopped leading, and whether it was on the sideline or, you know, at practice in drills, he was always, you know, encouraging his teammates, and so that was great to see. And, you know, Connor was probably the one guy who might have been a little more vocal than others, especially when things weren't going well. He would get the guys together and say, all right, enough is enough. We got to fix this. And, everybody at some point in time in that senior class provided some sort of a spark for us. And it's really, really good to see. And I hope that carries on into their other sports, you know, basketball, track, baseball. I hope we really see that this group stay together and continue to just, you know, fight and do good things.
And, you know, yeah, you mentioned Aiden, and he's the guy I feel for a lot of reasons. But it was, like you said, he still became a leader. He still became a vocal leader. And I talked to him before the Tri-Center game, and it's very unfortunate that he had to have this perspective, but he did have the perspective of, well, it's football. It happens, and unfortunately it's happened to him way too much. But the fact that he was so, you know, still kind of upbeat about it all, and he was still able to be a vocal leader for you guys, I mean, that alone, I'm sure anybody else could have been in that scenario, but that alone can just highlight the quality of an individual that you have on your football team.
Yeah, he's got a great support staff at home, and he's got a great support staff of friends. So, you know, that really helped him through, you know, what was probably a really difficult time in his life. He loves this. This is his sport. I mean, he loves it. And so, you know, that's just, yeah, for him to be able to bounce back and provide that steady hand, that leadership for the team, that spark that we needed, you know, it was very, very good to see it. And it tells you that, you know, the scoreboard wasn't what we wanted it last night, but there's still great things happening.
Well, but yeah, it's the scoreboard is not what you wanted. It's not the outcome you wanted. But like we, I think, talked about earlier on, it doesn't define your season. You had so many great wins. You had such a great year, you know, just getting to the playoffs and doing all those kind of things. But what do you hope that, you know, this senior class is defined by and the legacy that they leave on your football program. What do you hope that is?
Well, you know, I mean, this is, you know, back-to-back years we've made the playoffs. Obviously, we got a playoff win this year. You know, so 8-2 record. You know, our guys' names statistically, we're going to have a bunch of guys' names sprinkled all over our record book in for season, game, and career records. You know, these guys just, you know, they put a lot in the program, and that's what you hope the underclassmen take from that, is that you got it. Next season for football doesn't start in the summer. It starts on Monday. And we talked about that after the game. You know, for those underclassmen, it starts on Monday. You have to get into the weight room right away. You have to start, you know, focusing on improving your body and improving your class, your craft, becoming a more explosive athlete. It's going to help you for every single sport. The weight room does great things for every sport. And so we got to start that right away, and hopefully it continues throughout the entire offseason.
Well, because, yeah, I mean, that's the other part about your team, is you had so many great, you know, sophomores and juniors and even a freshman sprinkled in here and there that were able to have an impact on your football team. And, yeah, you're going to graduate a great senior class, and those guys are going to be tough to replace. But I think you've got the guys, you know, waiting in the wings to be able to take their place, to be able to be, you know, the next group of leaders and to be able to continue, hopefully, this kind of stretch that Galen football's on.
Yeah, you know, we had some underclassmen really step up this year. You know, Cale Pearson comes to mind. He had an outstanding season, rushed for over 1,000 yards as a sophomore. You know, obviously that, you know, he was the benefit of Aiden not getting, obviously, as many carries as we would have liked. But, you know, I know Cale learned a lot from Aiden throughout the year. Aiden kind of took him under his wing. Cole McCarty's another kid who, you know, played a lot of linebacker for us. And we got to find a spot for him on offense that really benefits. And he's such an explosive athlete. We got to find a way for him to contribute more on offense. And that's my job as the coach. And we'll figure that out this offseason. You know, other sophomores, Jake Bogan played linebacker for us. You know, Dylan Pacus came in. There was a surprise. We have some juniors. Landon Ryder didn't get to play a ton on offense. It's because when you have Keaton Logan and Keaton Bonerson out there, you know, you know. But Landon Ryder's a nice receiver. You know, he could potentially be our next quarterback. We really don't know that. That's kind of the big question right. Going into next year, is who's going to play quarterback. Chance Calson was another junior who contributed. We had guys contributing on the offensive and defensive lines who are juniors and sophomores, and Dane Lehman, you know. So we do have the pieces. We have to get – everybody has to take from here until next football season, and everybody has to improve themselves athletically, individually, and that's going to make us better as a team.
And how about a shameless plug for you? There's no better way to get better athletically than to join the track team, right?
Yeah, you know, I love seeing multi-sport athletes. You know, it gets you in the weight room. You continue to compete. I know Coach Vigdahl said that about competing, and that's a great thing about, you know, multi-sport athletes, is they get to compete year round. And you know what kids don't understand is a lot of college coaches, they'll watch you during your best sport, but they want to see you at a sport that maybe you're not great at. Maybe you're not the top guy, because they want to see how you respond to adversity and how you make up for maybe, oh, this guy's a better player than you. How are you going to adjust, and how are you going to figure it out and use the mental side of the game to get the job done? And so, yeah, multi-sport athletes, basketball, track, baseball, you know, we love the guys that play all the sports and you know, get in the weight room and get stronger and improve themselves athletically.
I know they're going to get that done, and I know they're going to want to come back in the fall and be just as hungry to hopefully get further in the playoffs and all that kind of fun stuff. It was a great year, Coach. It was fun to cover again. It's a great group of guys you got there at Galen Catholic. We'll wish you the best here in the off season, and we'll look forward to seeing what you guys got in the spring for track and field season.
Sounds good. Thanks for all your coverage this year.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. That is Jeremy Schindler. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic football. We'll be back to wrap up the program after this break here on KLEM.
The pursuit of true health. That's the goal of Dr. Jared Langle of True Health Chiropractic, Lamar's. Dr. Jared was born and raised in Lamar's, and along with his wife, Sarah, they look forward to raising their family and serving the community with a holistic approach to chiropractic, guiding patients to mindful movement and proper nutrition. True Health Chiropractic, offering adult chiropractic along with care for babies and children, fertility and pregnancy, accepting your insurance. True Health Chiropractic, located just off Business Highway 75 South Lamar's, across from Four Brothers. Call 712-305-0154. Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic, Dr. Jared Langle. And like True Health Chiropractic on Facebook.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today. 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Corner live on 1410 AM 96.9 FM KLEM.
And so ends another season of the Coach's Corner right here on KLEM. Daniel Versteg with you. Coach's Corner has been brought to you all fall by Ameriprise Financial, Sitzman Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Nohava Construction, Get Branded 360, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, True Health Chiropractic, and Chapman Overhead Doors. Once again, my thanks to Ken Vigdahl and Jeremy Schindler, Lamar's Community Galen Catholic coach, for joining us here on the program all throughout the year. As I've said a couple of times throughout the year, there's a lot better things those guys could be doing on weekends than talking to me for all of you. And we thank them so much for their time and being able to give you a lens into how they think on the football field and a lens into what goes on behind the scenes with their program. It's always a pleasure to chat with them about the outstanding teams that they've got. Again, it's the first time in 17 years that both teams made the round of 16 in the playoffs. So I know the scoreboards last night did not go the way either team wanted them to, but again, it was a great season for football in the town of Lamar's, and those two are a large reason for that. So my thanks to Ken Vigdahl and Jeremy Schindler for their time all throughout the year. But that's going to wrap up another season of the Coach's Corner. We're anticipating we'll have a Coach's Corner sometime in mid-November to start previewing the girls and boys basketball seasons. We'll get those coaches on the line to talk about their team, so that'll be coming up in the not-too-distant future. We'll make sure you know about it before it hits the airwaves. But our fall sports broadcasting is not done yet. We've got a busy week, actually. We'll be in Coralville this week as the Hinton Blackhawk volleyball team gets set for its first state tournament appearance since 2013. The Blackhawks will take on the Cyclones of Denver Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock at Extreme Arena in Coralville. We'll have the coverage for you right here on KLEM with our pre-match coverage beginning at 3:45. And then if the Blackhawks keep moving on, we'll keep following them in the state tournament. They'll play Wednesday in the semifinal, Thursday in a state championship game. And if it's Hinton making the state championship game on Thursday, we'll have that. Or we will have a Class 8 player quarterfinal football contest. Remsen St. Mary's hosting Grettinger Terrell Ruthven Ayrshire. 7 o'clock kickoff. We'll have a 6:30 pregame, and we'll get Coach Osterman on and all that kind of fun stuff as well. That's coming up in the quarterfinal round. That'll be Thursday night. Again, assuming Hinton doesn't make a state championship game. Hinton's got the priority if they make the state championship match. If they don't, then we will have Remsen St. Mary's football on Thursday night. So look forward to that. Of course, all of these details can be found on the KLEM website under the sports tab. Click on fall sports broadcast schedule. So again, the fall sports season doesn't end, but our fall Coach's Corner edition does. So thanks for tuning in all throughout the year. Again, we'll look forward to chatting basketball coming up in just a few weeks. It is crazy how quick the basketball season is approaching. Until that point, I've been Daniel Versteg, sports director at KLEM Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. For all of us at KLEM Radio and for KLEM Sports, have a great weekend and enjoy some college football.